In a Cincinnati where vampires run pizza parlors and pixies provide aerial reconnaissance, Rachel Morgan navigates a precarious existence. 3 months since quitting Inderlin Security to start her own supernatural detective agency, she's barely making rent on the converted church she shares with a living vampire. When what should be a simple job, retrieving a stolen koi fish, ends with Rachel diving through a shattered window with bullets whizzing past her head, it's just another Tuesday. But her world truly unravels when the human police department asks for her help investigating a string of witch murders connected to Cincinnati's most powerful businessman, Trent Kalamak. Rachel's history with Trent is complicated. He tried to kill her once, and she's convinced he's dealing in illegal bio drugs. Yet as she digs deeper into the murders, she uncovers a conspiracy spanning decades with connections to her own mysterious past and a power struggle that threatens everything she holds dear. The converted church Rachel shares with Ivy Tamwood mirrors their relationship, sacred boundaries carefully maintained in a space not designed for coexistence. Their sporing mat occupies the former sanctuary, while the kitchen serves as neutral ground. Every interaction requires choreography to avoid triggering Ivy's vampiric instincts. "Don't run, don't show fear, don't make sudden movements," Rachel constantly reminds herself. Their balance shatters during sporing when Rachel accidentally jumps Ivy from behind. Ivy's eyes blacken with hunger as she pins Rachel against the wall, vampire pheromones transforming fear into unwanted pleasure through Rachel's demon scar. Only Nick's timely arrival prevents a binding bite. Yet neither walks away. Ivy sees Rachel as potential salvation, a way to maintain her soul after death. Rachel believes in Ivy's capacity to overcome her nature. Their friendship exists in the narrow space between desire and restraint, trust and fear, a tightrope above an abyss of blood and binding. Rachel's relationship with magic is complex. As an earth witch, she prefers natural ingredients with clear moral boundaries. Ley line magic, drawing power from invisible energy lines, unsettles her because it costs your soul rather than physical components. She's seen too many witches unknowingly slip from white to black magic. When forced to practice leyline magic for a university course, Rachel creates a protective circle in her kitchen. Through second sight, she glimpses the ever after, a disturbing landscape with stunted trees and a demon city's red glow where Cincinnati should be. The ritual falters when a demon named Algalirup appears, revealing that Rachel's boyfriend Nick has secretly entered a trial contract with it. "Your aura is as tainted as his," the demon observes with disturbing delight. Rachel later discovers she accidentally made Nick her familiar by mixing earth and leyline magic. This unintended bond damages their relationship, with Nick growing uncomfortable around her magic, flinching at spells, and avoiding her practice sessions. The familiar bond embodies Rachel's fears, how good intentions can lead to corruption, how power demands payment, and how the boundaries between white and black magic blur with each compromise. Piscary's Pizza presents a normal facade, red and white tablecloths, enticing aromas, yet conceals Cincinnati's most dangerous predator. When Rachel meets Piscary, his small stature and fatherly manner toward Ivy surprise her. This illusion shatters when his vampiric powers trigger an involuntary response through Rachel's demon scar, horrifying her. "Either get control of your pet," he warns Ivy coldly, "or I will." Piscary's true evil emerges when Rachel finds Ivy curled in her bedroom amid blood-filled vomit, repeatedly mumbling, "I told him no." Her neck bears savage, still bleeding tears, equivalent to rape in vampire culture. Piscary had demanded Ivy make Rachel her scion, then forced his ancient blood upon her when she refused. In the basement confrontation, Piscary reveals decades of manipulation. he admits to murdering both Rachel's and Trent's fathers years ago for getting too close to solving the Elven riddle, a conspiracy predating the Witch Hunter murders. As his centuries-old strength corners Rachel, she faces death knowing Piskary has manipulated her life since before birth. Cornered in Piskary's basement, Rachel makes a desperate bargain with the demon Augaliereapt. She'll become his familiar while keeping her soul in exchange for testimony identifying Piskary as Cincinnati's witch killer. After the demon vanishes, Piskary attacks with terrifying speed, breaking Rachel's arm and torturing her while she refuses to reveal Trent's secrets. The wall explodes as Quen, Trent's security chief, bursts in wielding powerful ever-after magic. When Piskary attacks him, Rachel draws power through her familiar bond with Nick. The resulting blast of black magic hurls Piskary across the room, giving Rachel time to grab a makeshift weapon. This unlikely alliance defeats Cincinnati's most powerful vampire, though at significant cost. Rachel's deepened bond with Nick, questions about Trent's nature after Quinn's exposure as a magic user, and Augaliereapt's claim on Rachel's soul. The incident reveals how quickly alliances shift in Rachel's world, where enemies become saviors and friends harbor secrets. Through this fluid moral landscape, Rachel navigates by her own compass, making difficult choices to protect those she cares about, even when they don't deserve it. A yellowed photograph changes everything. Rachel's father standing with someone resembling Trent Kalamak's father. Her mother reveals they were friends who owned the camp where Rachel stayed during her childhood illness. Rachel suspects her recovery involved illegal genetic manipulation. Trent confirms their shared past, showing a scar from when Rachel threw him into a tree for bullying. Memory blockers in the camp water explain her fragmented recollections. This history, plus Piskary's comment about Rachel's father ringing the bells too before death, suggests a deeper mystery. The Elven Riddle, Piskary called it, a puzzle connected to the extinct Elven race wiped out during the Turn. Could Rachel's unusual magical abilities link to this ancient mystery? Is this why both fathers died? Driving away with Trent in her FIB-gifted convertible, Rachel sets these questions aside. The $18,000 in her pocket validates her choices, while her demon mark now bears two lines, binding her further to Augaliereapt. The Hollows exists beneath a facade of normalcy, with subtle signs like runes and hopscotch grids and humorous day-sleeper yard signs revealing its true nature. Inderlanders maintain this human veneer, knowing exposure would trigger dangerous prejudices. In this world, power always demands payment. Rachel's growing magic attracts demonic attention. Ivy's vampire strength endangers her soul, and wealthy Trent lives in constant fear of discovery. Rachel's true distinction isn't her magic, but her refusal to accept limitations. She won't be intimidated by Trent's wealth, Piskary's ancient power, or Augaliereapt's demonic threats. She refuses to abandon Ivy despite the danger and keeps questioning her past, even when answers threaten her identity. As she drives away with Trent, Rachel has earned a moment of triumph. But in the Hollows, such moments never last. New threats emerge, enemies become allies, and Rachel will face whatever comes next with fierce determination and a loaded splat gun.